Baba Galperin, good morning.
How are you, Ilan?
I am good, I am good.
That's good.
Parashat Beshalach.
Parashat Beshalach, that's right. Now we're really getting into the things. You know, when we see how the Jews were allowed to be free, Pharaoh sent them free, and we see soon after allowing the children of Israel, to depart from Egypt, Pharaoh chases after them to force them to return, to come back to slavery. And now the Israelites find themselves trapped between Pharaoh's army that's behind them, chasing them, and the sea that's right in front of them.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? We don't want to go back to Egypt. They're all screaming at Moses, why you want us to come and die here in the desert? What is going on? It doesn't make sense. Rather, we should have stayed in Egypt. And God tells Moses to raise his staff over the water, and the sea splits to allow the Israelites to pass through. And once the last Jew, the last Israelite is at the other side of the water then closes over all the Egyptians, and obviously allowing the Egyptians to drown, and then the Jews and Moses on the other side sing a song to God. It's actually interesting enough to note that while I was just thinking that Pharaoh was the only person in the whole army that was in the water, supposedly that they were drowned. Pharaoh was the only person that did not drown. He would still remain alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a king later on in a different country. And the reason was that God wanted to obviously show and literally explain to the people, look, I'm the telling story. God is a very, very powerful man. You better be careful.
Yeah, he had a lot of experience.
Exactly. That was what the purpose was, to keep him still alive. And then obviously, when the Jews were in the desert, they complained that they didn't have any food and water and so on, and the manna came, and they had to take a special double portion on Friday for Shabbat, because there wasn't anything that was going to fall on Shabbat for them to go and collect.
Yeah, and then he gave them the slav, I remember.
Correct, he gave them also the bird.
Quill.
Yeah. Fancy English, quill.
Yeah.
So they really got whatever they needed, whatever they wanted, they had. They were taken care of. And if we look at this fact of, that right after the Jews were leaving Egypt, Pharaoh's chasing them, and behind them was an army ready for war, before them was an ocean, was deep, was obviously impassable, no, you can't just go through there. And they could neither go forward, and they can neither go backwards. They were practically ambushed.
Yeah.
What could they do? What were they supposed to do? And obviously Moses tries, an age-old tactic, and he cries out to God, and he cries, God, you need to help them. And God rebuked him and saying, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to journey forth. Keep going. What are you worried about?
Go forward,
correct. Journey forth, obviously you think, but how? How are they going to journey forth? There was an ocean before them. God never, ever addressed this question, and Moses never asked it. God said to journey forth, and journey they did. Every time in the history, when they were going to leave Egypt, God said, leave now through Moses. They left. They didn't ask questions. Now all of a sudden, they have these issues and these questions. And that was the whole entire point what God was trying to show is, don't ask questions. Don't raise doubts. God issues the command. Obviously, he's going to provide the means to see you through it, to be able to see that you should be able to go through.
Yeah.
However, what do we see? The children of Israel hesitated, and they were prepared to plow into the ocean, to go into the ocean, but they needed to be led, and they needed someone to show them the guidance. And what happened? A leader appeared in person, And he was Nachshon, was the son of Aminadab, who he was the tribal prince of Judah. And Nachshon strode into the sea, and he went through, you know, the rising tide, and the waters first reached his waist, and then it went to his chest, and then his shoulders. At the very last moment, as the waters reached his nostrils, the Red Sea parted, and all the children of Israel were able to follow him into the sea. Great miracle. It was an amazing sight to see. All of a sudden, you see all the waters of the sea open up into two sides.
Yeah.
And the Medrash explains many reasons for the reason of that our ancestors merited the splitting of the sea. And according to at least one of our sages, which the Medrash brings down, is that the waters parted because of the merits of our ancestors, that they had that great faith and unwavering confidence that Hashem would protect them in everything that they do, in every aspect, every way that they go, every way that they travel, God is going to protect them. And because of them, we were able to have this ability to have the miracle of splitting the sea. And if you think about it, everything that is created, you know, is subject to change. You know, winds blow, waters flow, waters can separate on a miracle.
Yes.
Man too.
Especially man when too. It involves with the nature.
Correct. And man too, we're also subject to change. We're never going to be, we always have the opportunity to change. We always have sometimes we'll just change, we'll think, why did I just do this? Oh, that's what I decided to do. I might have not thought about it. The only constant in our ever-evolving world is God. God never changes. God is always the same God that was from creation of the world until today. Never, ever changes. And the Jew, which is us, emulates God's unchanging character. Because the fact that we have this trust, you know, this unshakable certainty, we don't have an unchanging belief, an absolute faith in God, we manifest a measure of God that can never change. In other words, when we believe what we're doing, when we're believing in Hashem and God, we personify the divine. We personify who God really is. And when our ancestors obviously approached the waters with this faith in God, the waters saw in them a measure of divine. They saw God. Because the created being cannot contradict, cannot fight against God. The water instinctively and spontaneously, what did it do? It receded before the fact that they saw God.
Yeah.
They saw, and who were they seeing God through? They were seeing God through Moses. As we see that King David writes in Tehillim and Psalms that the wording is the ocean saw and fled. So the Medrash asks the question, what did they see him? From whom were they fleeing? Where were they running from? What did they see? They saw godliness reflected on Moses when he raised his arms, that they fled from its position as an obstacle in God's path. We were going to change this minute. Water was not going to do its natural course. What was going to happen? The water was going to split. It was going against the nature of water. Water doesn't just all of a sudden split. But the fact that it saw godliness right there, automatically, it was going to have to get out of God's path.
Against physics.
Correct. 100%. And that was, you know, obviously the greatest miracle. Now, if you think about it, the question is not really why did the waters part, but the question is really, if you think about it, why did the waters wait till Nachshon, who was the person that jumped in, performed this act of heroism? And all of a sudden he jumps in, and then after a while, While he's in the water already, the water split. So, and if you think about it, the water were waiting for the Jewish people to express their faith, not only through thought, through action. It was not enough that the Jews believed. The sea demanded an external demonstration of their faith. The sea said, very nice. You believe in God? That's great. We want to see the action to show your faith in God. And when they were able to do that action, what happens was the sea splits. Silent faith, if you think about it, silent faith is dormant. It cannot impact the physical world unless it is physically expressed. If I think in my head, I want to change the world, I want the water to split, I want this to happen. But if I don't make that action to make it happen, it's not going to happen. Yeah. To show, if I don't make that action to show what I'm thinking about, to show my faith in whatever it is, in what I desire to do, it's not going to get done. And this is why the water's waiting. They waited for our ancestors to give physical expression to their faith. And when did that happen? And when Nachshon, the son of Aminadab, he went forth and expressed the faith that the nation carried within themselves, the waters quickly parted. Why? Because they were able to see that the Jews are not only do they have this faith in God in their mind or in their heart, but they even have that faith in God through action. And if you think about it, how do we imply that to our lives? Every Jew is capable of reaching that devotion that Nachshon, when he jumped into the water, reached at that moment. Because when a Jew resolves to perform God's will, with total disregard to any obstacles that might come, God provides him a way to overcome the obstacles. If I think in my mind that I am going to do something, but, you know what, there's too many obstacles that are going to stop me from doing it. So I don't even venture out to even try and start to do it.
So that is the doubt.
Correct. What's going to happen is you're not going to get anything done. If I want to be able to create something, to invent something, for example, if I have it in my head, if I have it in my heart, if I have it in my mind, that's great. No one's going to know about it. No one's going to care about it. And you're not going to achieve what you're thinking. In order for you to be able to achieve that goal, you have to implement it in action.
Yeah.
In order for you to achieve your faith, to show your faith in God, you have to show that action that you believe in God. So, for example, and if you want to do that, God is going to help you overcome any obstacle. God is there to be able to be behind you and push you and guide you. Do this. I'm here to help you. If we absolutely, for example, are determined to keep Shabbat, God will find a way to make it possible. If we want to be able to put on tefillin, a man 13 years and older, every single day besides Shabbat, wants to put on tefillin, God will help him find that way of putting on tefillin every single morning. If we're absolutely committed to go in the Torah, to go in its path, God will give us the strength to do so. So if we're willing to be able to take that plunge in, to be able to not only think about our faith, but to be able to show how we're going to implement our faith through action, like the Red Sea, our obstacles will recede and allow us clear, absolutely clear passage to whatever we want to do. And that's one of the most important lessons that we can learn from the Torah portion.
Yeah.
That if you want to do something, don't think about it. You need to do it. If you want to be able to be there for someone, if you want to be able to, they say the most important mitzvah of the Torah, and the main thing of what the Torah is and everything else is commentary, is v'ahavta rerecha kamocha, love your fellow Jew. Now, if I love my fellow Jew in my head or in my heart, that's great. That's very nice. However, if I don't love my fellow Jew or any human being in a way of action, how do I achieve what I'm thinking in my head? You can't.
Yeah, it will go away. You will lose it.
First of all, you'll lose it. Second of all, you won't have that drive anymore.
Yeah.
And third of all, what's the point of me thinking about it if I can't bring it into action? You need to be able to bring whatever's in your mind in the face of God, in learning Torah, in helping other people, being there to support other people, whether it be emotionally, physically, whatever it may be. But if you're there with action, then your any obstacle that you encounter will be overturned by God. God will help you. Overcome any of those obstacles, and that's one of the most important lessons that we can learn out of the fact that the Red Sea wasn't willing to split until we were able to show the action, and that's what Nachshon Ben Aminadab did. And I think you know that actual part of the parasha of the Jews leaving, and that incredible lesson is phenomenal, and we can live with that every single day of our lives as we go through challenges every single day.
Yeah, and then there is that beautiful song that I remember as a kid because we had to know it by heart.
Right.
The song that Moses and the children of Israel sang to God.
The Shira.
Yeah, that's the Ashira La Adonai Ki Gaoga. I remember that.
Correct.
I still remember that.
Yeah, sure. We say that. Say that every morning in the prayers. You know,
yeah,
when we're praising God, and that, you know, Moses took all the Jews and they sang that beautiful song of Yoshim Moshe of Israel. When Moses sang the song with the Jews, praising God, expressing the glory of God and how we thank Him so much for the miracles that He did. Miriam, Moses' sister,
she also sang, yeah?
Correct. Took the woman with the tambourines, and they sang their praises to God. So these moments in the Jewish history is phenomenal. And it's not history. It's not a philosophical thing. It's something how we can take that and relive it in our lives every single day, through every single challenge, through every single aspect of our lives, when we continue to grow. And
yeah,
it's phenomenal.
So that is, I think, the end of those three parashas that the children of Israel leave Egypt.
Correct.
Because
correct.
Now the Egyptians are behind us.
Yes, correct. Now the hard times are behind us, and they're going to go forward. And as we'll talk about next week, that they're going now to be able to prepare themselves to receive the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the next week's Torah portion, Yitro is when God gives them the Ten Commandments, and that they're able to become a Jewish nation for the fact of expressing their willingness in accepting God as the King, and accepting His Torah, and living by it. And that's, you know, so sort of this culminates, you know, the whole episode of Shmot and Va'era, the last three, like you said, the last three Torah portions.
Yeah.
And next week, as we'll talk about it, we'll talk about how the Jews received the Torah with undying faith, and there was no conditions attached to it. So it's phenomenal. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
No conditions and no doubts.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, Rabbi, services at Shaarei Tzedek.
Services are Friday evening, 6 o'clock, and Shabbat morning at 9 o'clock. That's this week's time for candle lighting is 5:05, so we're sort of inching up in time. So we're getting there in the time-wise, but it's 5:05 this week and 6 o'clock evening service.
Okay, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you for your time.
Thank you for allowing us to do this. It's beautiful.
Like always, it was very interesting, and I love these parashas.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ilan, and we'll talk, God willing, next week.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Be well.